This is the news segment of the Jodcast. For the full Jodcast, please visit www.jodcast.net.
In the news this month, star formation seen in a galactic tale, Magellanic clouds are new visitors, and new results from Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter. The formation of new stars usually occurs in galaxies, in regions containing large amounts of molecular hydrogen, the raw material for star formation. Much of the star formation within our own Milky Way takes place within the spiral arms. Observations carried out using the Chandra X-ray satellite have shown that star formation may be going on in between galaxies as well. Ming Sun and colleagues at Michigan State University have discovered a tail of hydrogen gas seen in optical observations which coincides with an X-ray tail that stretches for 70 kiloparsecs from a galaxy located in the cluster Abel 3627. The tail consists of material stripped out of the galaxy as it moves through the super-hot gas within the cluster. Although the gas in the tail is too hot to form stars itself, located within the tail are a group of objects seen in emission lines characteristic of star formation, known as H2 regions. In a paper to be published in the Astrophysical Journal, the group suggests that although star formation in the intracluster medium has been seen before, it may be far more common than previously thought. Our galaxy, the Milky Way, has its own cluster of dwarf satellite galaxies. Most are diffuse, faint, and at various stages of interaction with the Milky Way. The two most famous are the Magellanic Clouds, well known to observers in the Southern Hemisphere. These galaxies are irregular in shape and thought to be satellites of our galaxy, travelling around in elliptical orbits until they eventually merge with our galaxy sometime in the future. Astronomers at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics have measured the velocities of stars within these two dwarf galaxies, and found that they were higher than expected. Two explanations were suggested for this. Either that the Milky Way is more massive than thought, or the two clouds are not gravitationally bound to the Milky Way. Further analysis of the data collected by Gertina Bessler and her team has shown that the second explanation is likely to be the correct one. Using the data, they calculated the orbits of the Magellanic Clouds and found that they are new arrivals, both on their first pass past the Milky Way. This result has implications for our understanding of the galaxy. The disk of the Milky Way has a significant warp, which was thought to be caused by previous passes of the clouds. This result shows that this is probably not the case. It also sheds doubt on the origin of the Magellanic Stream, a long tail of hydrogen which stretches from the clouds across the sky. It was thought that the stream was formed either through tidal interactions between the clouds and the galaxy, or by stripping of gas from the clouds as they passed through the tenuous gas of the outer Milky Way. If this is the first pass of the clouds, then neither theory explains the stream. In recent years, there have been several missions to Mars which have mapped the surface in greater and greater detail, and several landers which have analysed rock samples for signs of life. Several of these missions have produced results which seem to imply that the planet had a wet past with many surface features apparently formed by a liquid flow. Now, images from the High Resolution Imaging Science Experiment, or HiRISE, on board Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter have shown that some of the features previously thought to be caused by liquid flows could have been created by dry flows instead. A dry flow is the movement of loose debris down a steep slope, like the way sand will flow down a steep slope in the desert on the Earth. One example, described in the September 21st issue of Science, is Athabasca Vallis. The favourite explanation for the formation is that water welling up through a crack in the ground sliced through existing lava flows to form the valley. What the latest high-rise images show is that the original channels and sediments, probably originally formed by water much earlier, appear to be buried by large amounts of lava. Some images do show signs of water at some point. Some craters appear to have features which were caused by water, but Alfred McEwen of the University of Arizona and the rest of the high-rise team suggest that this could have been due to the impactor hitting a patch of water-rich crust. Using recent results from the high-rise data, researchers are concluding that water is unlikely to have been a major factor in shaping the surface of Mars in the last 3 billion years. And finally, it is well known that pulsars were discovered by Tony Hewish and Jocelyn Bell in 1967, but now it turns out that they were in fact first detected even earlier by a US Air Force radar operator stationed at a remote outpost in Alaska. In 1967, Staff Sergeant Charles Scheisler was monitoring an early warning radar system which was used to look for incoming missiles from across the Pacific Ocean. Radar works by sending out a strong signal and then listening for echoes returning from objects in the beam. The system Scheisler was using was configured to display only highly variable echoes, which reflections from fast-moving rockets certainly would be. He noticed a faint signal on his screen, which continued to appear in the same place, but appearing 4 minutes earlier each day. Having previously been a navigator in the Air Force, Scheisler knew that the stars rose 4 minutes earlier each day due to the Earth's motion. He calculated the position of the source in the sky and compared it to a catalogue of known radio sources at the time, determining that it was the radio source known as Taurus A, or the Crab Nebula. He continued to note the positions of other similar sources he detected using the radar system, and made what was probably the first catalogue of pulsars. At the time, the work of the radar station was classified, so his discovery, although predating the work by Hewish and Bell, was never published until the radar station was finally decommissioned.